The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a big fan of silly t-shirts. I think it started when I was in high school. I just like ones with clever sayings or clever depictions on them. And though I'm really good at dressing professionally for the job, there's nothing quite like going home and changing into your most comfortable jeans and a fun t-shirt at the end of the day. I've built an impressive collection over the years of various designs, including a decent amount of cat shirts, because as my husband likes to say, I'm probably about one cat away from being a crazy cat lady. He's not wrong. I also have a shirt that depicts Jesus riding on the Velociraptor, because he's Jesus, and why not? One of my favorites says, "My pastor can beat your pastor to the pulpit." Oh, the early service laughed more than you did. And I have another one that has the four horsemen of the apocalypse depicted as My Little Ponies. I actually wore this one to the retreat the other week, and a couple of kids there were big fans of My Little Ponies, so they thought my shirt was awesome, though they didn't quite get it. Professor Carey did find it quite clever. Now, I always keep an eye out for these kinds of shirts when I'm out and about. And if you ever go to a big Christian gathering, especially if it's more on the evangelical side, there will be no shortage of these kinds of shirts. And I remember going to a Christian music festival a number of years ago, and I saw a shirt that said, "Live your life so the pastor doesn't have to lie at your funeral." Kind of morbidly funny. Also, not bad advice. Of course, you want people to be able to say nice things about you at your funeral. You want your family and friends to be able to speak to the love that you shared with them and with others throughout your life. Often, this will be the case. People will share sweet and funny stories and often laugh together and cry together. It is a part of the process. However, this can also get a bit tricky. My husband Adam and I got into the show Parks and Recreation this past year. It's a sitcom that chronicles the adventures of the local Parks and Recreation division of the imaginary city of Pawnee, Indiana. One of the main characters, Leslie Knope, played by Amy Poehler, decides to run for city council. Her opponent is a guy named Bobby Newport. Now, Bobby's father is a rich man who runs the big major business in that city. And Bobby Newport's father also happens to be a bit of a jerk. Everyone knows this. Everyone owns up to it, even Bobby. However, as election day nears, Leslie decides to take a jab at her opponent's father because his father threatened that if they didn't vote for his son, he would take his fairly large business out of the city, trying to blackmail them into voting for him. Kind of a jerk move, right? However, after she says this and calls him out as being a jerk, it's revealed that Bobby's father had, in fact, just died. Now, Leslie goes and spends the rest of the episode trying to tell Bobby that she's sorry and make amends. However, she does this by trying to say that she didn't really mean what she said, when in fact, she did. In the episode, it becomes clear that no one really liked this man. However, they all go around trying to say some nice things about him, even though it's disingenuous because they all really believe that he's a jerk. It's Bobby who finally speaks up and says, "Yeah, my dad was kind of a jerk," that finally helps everyone move forward and be honest. This episode of Parks and Recreation perfectly illustrates a problem with the way that we often deal with death and funerals. Live your life so that the pastor doesn't have to lie at your funeral. It's expected that a funeral is about making a person out to be a saint by their actions. Often there is a cultural pressure to say nothing but good things and the best things about someone at their funeral, even if we have to make it up, even if it's dishonest. Because no one's perfect. No one leads a perfect life. There will always be skeletons in the closet, whether they are big or little. Plus, we start trying to make it into a weighing game of sorts. It often seems like if someone's good deeds don't outweigh the more ugly stuff in their life, we'll just start making up the good to try and tip the scales in the other direction. Hilariously, this actually sounds like a practice back in ancient Egypt. There was a god named Anubis who would weigh the heart of the dead against a feather from another god called Maat. So they would weigh this heart. And if the heart weighed less or the same as the feather, this meant that this person had led a virtuous life and therefore could pass on into the heavenly afterlife. However, if the heart weighed more than the feather, then they had not led a virtuous life, and the soul would be devoured by another ancient god called Ammit. Now, we don't live in ancient Egypt. However, sometimes our funeral practices seem to mirror the system. Live your life so that the pastor doesn't have to lie at your funeral. We're really good at making funerals all about what we do and our actions in life. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing the praises of the deceased. However, if we simply try to justify their life by their actions, we start sowing seeds of doubt at the same time. What if it's really all about what we do in life? What if, in the end, we're just going to be judged by our actions? And you better hope your good actions outweigh your bad. It's a terrifying idea, isn't it? Because once we start making that list in our head and trying to weigh our good versus our bad, it just gets messy. And it becomes impossible to really know where we stand with God and know how we stand with God. In today's reading, we are in the middle of the breaking open of the seals in the book of Revelation. Speaking of the four Milo ponies of the apocalypse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse have already been unleashed, and it's looking pretty dire. However, we get this little interlude here. At the end of chapter 6, and faced with this great day of wrath, a question is posed. Who can stand? In the midst of all of this chaos and this messiness and this ugliness and awfulness, who can stand? As an answer to this question, John, the author of Revelation, hears a description of those who are sealed, numbered 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Now, I know people tend to get hung up on this number, you know, Pastor Tasha, does this mean that only 144,000 of us are going to, you know, get in or whatever? What does it mean? Now, chances are, we are given this number because it's a really neat and tidy number, not because only 144,000 of us are going to, you know, make it into the heavenly afterlife. Plus, this is just what John hears. When John actually looks, we are told he sees a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. So what defines them is those who can stand. What sets them apart? We are given the answer. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, at first glance, we might not be sure that this applies to us. John was writing this letter during a time of intense persecution of the early Christian church. John himself had been exiled to the Greek island of Patmos. The great ordeal is something his readers certainly could relate to, especially since Christians were being put to death for their faith. And while there are certainly Christians who are still being put to death for their faith today, and whom we pray for on a regular basis, this isn't so much our experience in Lancaster County. But I also think this is meant to speak to all those who are suffering, which does apply to us as well. Sure, one of the things we tend to do is compare our suffering to others and minimize it. Well, you know, there are actually people out there dying because of their faith, so my suffering doesn't seem like such big of a deal. You know, it's not really that big of a deal. I'm just worried about work or mourning the death of a friend or working through a rough patch in a relationship or struggling with some kind of mess. You know, I wouldn't exactly call that a great ordeal. But it is a great ordeal to you. So it is. It is a great ordeal. Who can stand? Who are these? These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This gives us a second mark, defining mark of those who can stand. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb refers to Jesus' death and resurrection. And we also share this with them. We too have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is how we know where we stand with God, because we too have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not because of anything we've done or haven't done in our life to impress God or tip the scales in our favor. Not because of the nice things the pastor and our family and friends will say at our funeral someday. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we too can stand. We are God's people, now and forever. This Sunday is known as All Saints Sunday. It is a day we remember the saints of the church. And because of the blood of the Lamb that has washed away our sin and made us white as snow, we are saints too. All saints. All. This includes us. All of us. Each and every one of us. This also includes those whom we have loved who have died. I know this has been a rough year for you all out there and for the church. I can't believe how many funerals we've done since I got here 10 months ago. There have been a lot of deaths that have impacted you in big ways. It's been really hard. But in the midst of this, I cling to this promise that though we are not perfect, we will stand and worship God in the end through the blood of the Lamb. As Martin Luther put it, We are simultaneously sinners and saints. This is what gives us permission to be honest at funerals, because we are both sinners and saints at the same time. Sure, we make a mess out of life sometimes, but Jesus has our back. And Jesus also has our back in eternity. We have no need to worry about scales or about works or about doing enough good to someday outweigh the bad. We only hold fast to this promise that we are a part of the great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. As we are told in the book of Revelation, I'm going to take a little bit of leeway here to change the pronouns. For this reason, we are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter us. We will hunger no more and thirst no more. Sun will not strike us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.